Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Davin's Den, Filling the Void. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than not being able to take a joke. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Chances are you can't take a joke. You don't listen to this show. But anywho, on the show, Comics in the News interview with comedian and star of the new film, Can We Take a Joke, Kareth Foster.
Awesome.
Looking forward to talking with Kareth. Weight loss scams. How scammers, well, how anybody can hide on the internet. Anybody can hide on the internet. We'll tell you to keep the man from looking at you. And ISIS has more porn on their computer than your 45-year-old single weird cousin. And Joe and Pip thought it was very important that we bring this story to you.
Crucial.
This is a Joe and Pip special right here. They campaign.
An exclusive report.
So we're bringing you terrorists and porn. So you got that to look forward
Yay.
To. So a common theme on this show is getting older. Because you both are.
You ain't far behind. Shut up.
24 behind.
Yeah. I bathe in all kinds of lotions and potions. Just to keep
I've
young.
Seen those movies. But anyway, I digress. Although maybe in the last segment, you've seen them too. But, you know, there's certain things that, you know, last show Joe and I talked about, you know, seeing things like Guns N' Roses, you know, dressing appropriately. And they did a survey of 2,000 Brits, and it focused on women. But I think some of the stuff we can expand out on certain ages where you should stop certain behaviors or stop wearing certain things. So he said, well, by the time a woman is 46, she should cut her long locks. By the time she gets to 47. So 46 to 7, time to cut your hair short.
Really? Is that so?
You brought the story to my attention. Don't get pissy at me, lady.
Well, I love this. Sometimes you see these women that cut their hair short, and it goes, it makes my hair manageable. Probably your date book, too.
Yeah. Funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, listen, unless your hair is like really ratty and thinning,
mm-hmm.
in which case, you know, it's time for... No, your hair's good. I take long hair on a girl.
I think it's got,
My husband likes long hair.
So we agree that you don't have to cut it?
Yeah, I don't think that you necessarily have to. It used to be a thing in the past where it was almost like a sign that you had grown up, you'd become a mom, you know, you have to cut your hair and, you know, make it more manageable because you have these kids to chase around. But I don't necessarily think that that's a thing only for
pregnant,
young women.
You cut your hair.
Probably.
And right after the kid because you got a lot of things.
Because there's so much stuff.
What about guys? Do guys have to cut their hair?
No.
I kind of look like an old dude with long hairs, and I got to be honest, I got to go, really? Unless you're in a band, it's like, really?
I like old dudes with... I know that some people look at the ponytail guy and go, oh, come on. But I like older dudes with long hair.
If you're balding and you have long hair in the back, really, you got it. I mean, it's a lost cause.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
You're very lenient.
I think the only person I'd be able to pull that look off was Franklin, but I...
he had a cake.
He's bringing it back.
they say... Trying to find the age on this. They say skinny jeans depends. What age was the skinny jeans? I don't know.
It
was
like skinny jeans and depends. Did you say
no?
Oh,
skinny, it was like in the 40s. No, in the 40s for skinny jeans. I think really that depends on if she's attractive.
Yeah,
I mean,
and what shape you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I would say around 50, maybe you want to throw the whoa Nelly on that, but you know,
I think men should stop wearing skinny jeans at the age of fetus.
I've seen some really skinny jeans on guys that even though they were like thin, you know, oh no,
skinny
no,
jeans,
way too much going on
if
there.
If you're a man wearing skinny jeans, I think there has to be a rule that you like other men.
That's possible.
Average guy walking around in skinny jeans, it just looks weird.
It looks very weird.
You're trying too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a relaxed fit sort of guy.
Men should be a little bit more relaxed fit.
Yes, they most certainly. Things need to breathe.
Yes, and and if you can see them breathing, that's too skinny of a jean.
I think it's still alive. It's throbbing.
If I can see a pulse, no.
Says the survey says tattoos are a no-no after age 38.
BS.
What do you mean? What does that mean? BS. I mean, I know what that means. Can you expound?
I can expound, and I'm going to say that you can get a tattoo at any age.
Unless if you're really wrinkly, unless you're going to get a tattoo of wrinkles or varicose veins, I don't think so.
These look good. This is blue.
I think
a lot of people do get tattoos later on.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, if it's an emotional thing,
if somebody passed personal. Away. Yeah.
But if you go, I like Game of Thrones, I want to put a dragon on. Slow down.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get a full sleeve, relax. But I mean, you know, so a lot of girls I know, they get a little butterfly.
But at 38?
Yeah.
There's a couple of girls I know in their 40s that go,
yeah, but some of the butterflies going to look like a pterodactyl. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have any more years of butterfly ahead of it.
Like sometimes, you know, some girls I know, I like to get a little tattoo.
A small one.
A small one. So if you're going to be that
age. What about a tramp stamp?
No, at 40, no, you shouldn't get it at any age.
Not at any age, not anymore. No, unless it's a bullseye. Just, you know, if you go big or go home. If you're going to,
we pause while Pip explains.
If you're going to get a bullseye, you might. I mean, a tramp stamp. You might as well just get a bullseye.
I don't know. I don't know. Stop taking selfies after 34. I think you can always take selfies.
You can always take selfies. You're at a party, you're hanging out with your friends. What are you going to go, all right, we got everybody's ID before we could take
a picture. Think you can always take selfies.
Stupid.
I think if you make the duck face in your selfies, you need to stop immediately.
Yeah. Regardless of the age.
Exactly.
No, you know what? They used to be called self-portraits, and people have been taking them as long as there's been photography.
Yeah, but that was art. This is I have a phone.
Yeah, well, see, that's what made it into a selfie, because you could take so many of them.
No, I understand.
Yeah, be a little judicious about how many you're taking, how many you're posting of yourself. But no, take them.
Stop clubbing at age 44. I got to agree.
Even before that, a lot of times, and I think you and I've been there. Like we're on.
Speak for yourself.
Well, no,
I don't like where this is going.
We'll be out on tour, and what happens is like you'll play a gig, and you might want to have a drink afterwards, and they have like a dance club or a club like that, and we'll go in, and we go in for the sole purpose of talking about the gig, talking about this. Well, you know,
nothing makes a conversation go better than throbbing bass.
Yeah, and people, I've actually commented to Davin and other comics I'm with that we're talking and stuff like that, and I go, thank God we're just here to hang out and have a drink, because if we were here to look for girls, we look like idiots. And people look at us. And it's like, and you just want to go, look, we're just here to hang out. We just did a gig. We're just talking about the business.
But it's for the young.
Yeah.
And 44 in the grand scheme of things is young, but it's not young enough to be there.
No.
You look desperate.
Yes.
I mean, I get it. You're all recently divorced.
Yeah.
I get it, and I get the guys have no place to meet women, but that's not it.
It's
take out an ad on Craigslist and hope for the best like anybody else.
As Chris Rock would say, you'd be the old guy at the club.
Yeah, go to Paris without partners or something, but please, don't hang around in the
club. Actually, the club should be 30. 30 should be the limit going to the club.
I don't know. Some people look pretty good at 33, 34. But yeah, I would take 40. I would take 40.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it down.
Yeah,
it's
after
over.
40, no.
Divorce guy or gal.
No, don't go there.
No. Again, unless you look like a porn star. If you can and where you look younger.
You're older, but you do kind of look hot. The people are going to be going, eh.
Yeah, but somebody will do you. It's a story. Really, if you have a chance of getting laid is the cutoff. You got to be realistic with yourself.
Yeah.
Look at the odds.
Yeah.
You go to the bouncer. I need to. Can I see your proof? No, I don't want your proof. We're looking at your odds.
Yes. Stop going to music festivals at 45.
Nope.
No, I disagree.
No.
I disagree.
I don't know, man. A concert's one thing. A festival.
Yeah, but you know what? They're starting to realize that the people that still have a little bit of money to spend at these things are people who are a bit older, and they're starting to accommodate.
Yeah, a 20-year-old doesn't have about $200 to drop on at the merch table.
No, their parents do.
But you know what? Going somewhere and hanging out in rain and mud and seeing bands at 4:30 in the morning had a lot more. You know, was more entertaining to me at 21.
Yes.
Than it is.
It does not seem appealing now. So I think they're right. You're gonna get sick, and you're not gonna be able to wake up for work the next day.
Yes, yeah. As far as festivals that are all day
that's a festival. Go to the concert.
Go to the concert.
So
go
I can
home.
Still feel young compared to you. But
yes.
But I gotta agree with the festival. It's not for us.
No, it's too. It's an endurance test. No,
although
no.
You're going to a festival,
I'll fail. But
they're all older than you.
They're all older than me.
Yeah,
all the acts are gonna be way older than me.
All right, last one. Quit trying to learn technology at the age of
40.
No.
Disagree. You
got, disagree.
You,
no.
You got to keep up. I don't know how to program a VCR. I admit that. But you got to learn things.
Yeah, Nana has to learn how to FaceTime just like everybody else.
Right.
You got to keep up.
Okay.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's ridiculous.
Especially if you're, you know, and this job market, you're competing with millennials who know everything on the computer.
Right.
You've got to compete with them, especially going into your later years. You need to know everything about technology that you can get your hands on.
Yeah.
Because basically, this is what you're going to compete on as you get to your 50s and 60s and try to hold your job.
Yeah, but I mean, my friend's nephew is better on iPads and technology than I am, and he's 3.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, Kareth Foster. Don't go anywhere. Davin's Den.
Just in a diaper.
We are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. Thank you. You probably hear a baby in the background. That's because Kareth Foster's on the line. How are you, Kareth?
I am always on.
You are always on.
That's right.
Well, we know we're running a little bit behind schedule, so we appreciate you accommodating us. We're very happy to have you on because you're starring in a new movie. Can we take a joke?
Well, I just love that you said I'm starring in it. I'm actually part of a cast of some really incredible comedians who are sharing their thoughts and views, yes, about how it seems that America, especially on college campuses, can no longer take a joke.
You don't think we could take a joke?
Many of us don't want to perform on college campuses anymore.
Well, I mean, I think colleges have been like that for years, though, don't you?
You know, I mean, I think it's steadily gotten worse, to be honest. I mean, I've had people, you know, when I've been booked at certain schools, whether they were, you know, religious schools or kind of conservative schools, say, can you keep it clean? But now it's to the point where they're actually telling comedians not to do certain jokes, not to address certain issues. It's beyond, you know, just curbing it to, you know, certain people's sensibilities. It's actually about saying, you know, no, you can't do your job anymore.
Are you finding that there's, because you've been doing this a little while like I have, are you finding there's a difference in the frequency in people getting offended at comedy shows, whether it's happening more or less? Are you seeing that more in clubs?
Well, you know, it's so funny. You haven't seen the film yet, but Noam from The Comedy Cellar talks about how there is this rise in people who will write the club, right? Not just leave the Yelp review, but write the club and say, we don't want you to put that comedian up anymore because their jokes upset me. Their jokes offended me. So it's like, okay, how about you just don't come to the club anymore or you don't, you know, follow that comedian? What's the problem here? But it's happening more and more, and it's just getting out of control. It's like people are forgetting what the point and the purpose of comedy is altogether. It's to point out the absurd. It's to be satirical. It's to make people uncomfortable sometimes.
I always took it as a badge of honor when somebody actually put paper to pen and like wrote to the clubs like, wow, I annoyed you so much that you wrote it down, you put it in an envelope, you addressed the envelope, you put a stamp on it, and you meant like, wow, I really touched you. You're never going to forget me.
Well, it's so funny. You know, Jim Norton is in the film, mm-hmm. and he has a really great line, and it's actually a clip from his act where he talks about, you know, you don't see people going to museums and, you know, covering, you know, that piece of art offends me and then throwing a towel over it.
No, it's true.
Some people think they can do the same thing to a comedian who's also an artist and who has, you know, the legitimate right to express themselves in their own various way.
You know, it's funny about this offended thing because I'm seeing actually now more and more comedians who get offended. You'll see it on social media, or they'll come up to a comic who's on the same show as them and go, I don't like that joke you did. And that offends me that they're offended by comedy. What do you think?
I think it's ridiculous. I think everybody needs to watch this film, comedians included. I mean, I think it's kind of absurd that we are in this outrage culture period, and we want to silence people. Yeah, the thing is, you know, we want to silence people we don't agree with, but then what about somebody who doesn't agree with you? What are you supposed to do then?
Right.
you know, you're going to be forced to shut up then. So you have to think about it from every angle. And that's, I mean, you know, I was just in D.C. last week, and I spoke on a panel after a screening of the film at the museum. And it was sponsored by the unlikeliest of partners. It was, you know, the Charles Koch Institute, the ACLU, the FIRE organization, which is for the Freedom of Individual Rights and Education. And it was, like, you know, a really amazing group of nonpartisan folks who all have brains enough to understand that threat to freedom of speech is a really big deal. It's important, and it's something that anyone who has a brain in their head should be understanding the importance of.
So what offends you? Do you get offended?
Of course things offend me, but I don't feel like I have to share that with the whole world.
That's a good attitude.
Donald Trump offends me. But you know what? There are people, he still has the right to say the things he wants to say, as crazy as they may be. And he also has the right, you know, he also gets to get called out on it.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing. There are consequences sometimes, you know. And that's what people have to understand. Sure, you can say whatever you want to say, but understand, listen, that may, if that doesn't curtail to what is okay in your workplace, then you may lose your job. You know, it's like a lot of people who say things on Facebook or do things on, you know, the internet and then don't get hired, or their employers see them and say, okay, that's not going to jive with our culture. Well, you know, those are the consequences.
Have you ever had audience members come up to you and say that they were offended?
Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear? Hello?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you for a second.
Okay. No, I just asked you, have you ever had an audience member come up to you and said that they were offended by something that you did?
You know, I think the fact that I have a really sweet Texas accent and I'm really nice on stage, it lets me get away with a lot more than I probably could if I sounded like straight up from the Bronx.
I got to try that.
I'll be honest. I mean, I've dropped the C-bomb, the F-bomb, and I've had people come up to me after shows going, oh my gosh, you're so clean. Perception, you know? And so I think people just perceive me a certain way, even though, you know, I'm dropping knowledge. And I have jokes that talk about race and that talk about, you know, pretty intense things because, you know, I too see it as my responsibility to be this beacon of light and truth. I think that's what comedians do. We shed light on taboo subjects. We make them, we bring them to the forefront of people's minds because a lot of stuff people don't want to talk about. They don't want to address.
Right.
And if we can make it something that people get comfortable enough with to even, like, mull over, then we're doing our job.
I agree. Hey, Kath, it's Joe Curry. I highly agree with you on that. If we're not invoking thought or shaking the tree, I don't think we are doing our job.
But as you said before, there's a time and a place.
A time and a place, but sometimes, you know, you got. But for the most part, if you go out, sometimes, you know, when the right time is right, you feel it is our job to shake the tree. I look at comedy this way. You know, people, what we do is we rip the curtains behind everything. You know, we rip the curtains down. But somebody's going to get offended because somebody had to hang the curtains.
I think I'm offended for curtains.
Yeah. No, I think I get the point.
You can't please all the people all the time, right?
This true.
And if you are, then you're doing something wrong.
I agree with that. But I will say this. I think, and I want your take on this, I think African-American comedians are given a lot more latitudes on joke about race than white comedians are. What do you think?
Of course, because they've had to deal with AIDS. Like, they haven't been able to say, oh, that doesn't make me feel comfortable, so I'm going to turn off Facebook right now. I'm going to stop being black. I'm going to stop being Latino. That's not privilege that we get. You know, I have so many friends who got so upset after the shootings of Alton Sterling and the man in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it made them really upset and really angry because they realized that there is a problem with race in this country. And, you know, so many people were upset that they didn't know what to say or do. So they're like, I got to stay off Facebook for a couple days. And they were able to do that. But my black friends weren't like, I can stop being black for a couple days so I can forget about this. Just to, like, and be emotionally okay to handle it. I think black comedians do get a little more leeway when talking about race because it's something that is so, part of their being and their experience. And that's what comedians do. We talk about our experiences.
But I mean, but what happens? What happens if an African American audience member gets offended at a white comedian talking about race? I'm not talking. Even though, you know what I'll say. Let's say they use the joke and they drop the N word, and an African American audience member gets offended at the comic. Are you, as a comedian, upset that the audience member complained, or are you, as an African American, going, "I get it. That's cool."
Say that again. Were you saying it was a white comedian who dropped the N-bomb?
Yeah, white comedian drops the N-bomb, or N-word, whatever, however you want to describe it.
Well, I mean, look at Louis C.K., mm-hmm. you know? He's absolutely brilliant, and he's done that. And it's all about context.
Okay.
You know, are people saying it to make a point? Are they saying it because they just want to be able to get away with saying it in a public forum and not have any repercussions?
Right.
You know, intent is everything. I mean, you know, Davin, you knew I worked for Don Imus.
I do.
Years ago, I was brought in after Nappygate to try to help bring him back to the public, you know, acceptance.
Right.
And to this day, as much as I think he's an awful, awful human being, I still don't believe he maliciously, you know, said nappy-headed hoe. The man doesn't even have enough friends to know what nappy-headed means, or hoe, any of that stuff, and he was just trying to be a hip, old, cool white dude. His mistake was that it wasn't funny.
Right.
You know? So...
So where can people see this movie?
You broke up, sweetie. Say that again.
Where can people go see the movie?
Oh, okay. So this is what's really cool. If you are in New York City or Los Angeles, you can actually go to the theater and see it in the theater starting on Friday the 29th. You can go to the Can We Take a Joke Facebook page, right? Google it, Can We Take a Joke, and then it will also be available on demand on August 2nd. So a lot of cable providers that have on-demand, parts to their system, you can look it up there. It's also available on iTunes Movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, everybody should really watch this film. I mean, it is for everyone, and I think it touches on a really... really important topic, and we cover, you know, we talk about George Carlin a little bit, Lenny Bruce, Penn Jillette's in it, Lisa Rampinelli, myself, Jim Norton, Gilbert Gottfried is a riot. So, and the thing is, it's funny. It's a funny movie, but it's also very poignant.
And where can people learn about you?
Pardon?
Where can people go track you down?
Absolutely. So, there aren't too many Carrots in the world, and I don't even think there's another Carrots Foster that exists. So, if you go to Carrots.com, K-A-R-I-T-H, then you'll find me. And I even think if you put in Carrots Foster, that'll just go straight to Carrots.com.
Well, Carrots, thank you for taking the time. We know you got a lot going on over there. We encourage everybody to see the movie, Can We Take a Joke? We'll talk to you soon. Take care, Carrots.
Take care,
Carrots. Thank you, sweetheart. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Carrots Foster. You're listening to Davin's Den. We like to do a lot of scams. It's a different type of scam. Different type of scam. You want to lose weight. You should have done it a couple of months ago. It's the summer. You're too late. You look like a fat slob. That's not my fault, though.
Is that my conscience?
Mom?
It's not your conscience. It's your conscience. Am I awake? No, Joe. This is all a horrible, horrible dream. But there are all these scams out there to try to get you to buy in. We all want the quick fix.
Sure.
Let me take a pill, and all the pounds are going to melt away. It sounds delightful.
It sounds like a...
What?
It's too good to be true.
Yes!
If I come up with that, I'm going to be a bazillionaire.
So, but they like to market these things.
Sure.
And not all marketing is honest.
What?
No, go tell.
They like to create a, quote, groundbreaking and revolutionary...
Right.
New product. Because you think, well, this is brand new.
This is the new thing that's going to really work for you.
It might not be the new thing. It might be the old thing repackaged.
Yeah. This is how, you know, the insert some kind of exotic indigenous peoples. This is how they keep slim.
Right.
No. They're hunting and running after their food. That's how they kept slim. There's no miracle.
Yeah. I haven't seen them get too many, like, indigenous from Peru. But okay. Your point. But they do try to find a spokesman who's already in great shape.
Sure.
A lot of times this is a model, or like they've used Chuck Norris, and they use, they go, well, this is what they use. Bowflex does this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, if this celebrity does this to keep in shape, then I'll do it, and I'll know martial arts and be able to kill you with a pinky.
It's like, but did anybody notice that that person was really in great shape before they got on this commercial?
Oh, pip details. Pay no attention to that.
Oh, okay. I will look.
But a lot of the physiques that are on top of these magazines, they don't remain that way year round. It's like all different training that you have to do. Sometimes you shed pounds, sometimes you cut, sometimes you. So they'll get these people to take the pictures at the proper look that they're going for.
They call it cutting and bulking.
Yes.
And so, like.
That's
like,
what I do when I am suicidal, but I eat a lot of pasta. I call it cutting and bulking. Joe.
I call it working through just lunch. It's working through lunch or eating chips on the couch. That's my cycle. Right.
Yeah, Joe's an evil man. believe it or not, steroids. A lot of steroids. And there's no regulation for this.
No, you can do that.
Right, right.
And, you know, or also the photographs can be airbrushed.
Right.
You know.
And they say science is not always what it claims to be. They'll put in a lot of scientific things, and they'll put footnotes to articles.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of figure nobody's going to check.
I've been on a whole lot of different diets, and you'll read, well, this is the science on how this works. And I have to be honest, I've not researched it. I just believed them in the past. Yeah, not going to do them anymore.
When we were doing the Fat Horse Challenge, when I had to lose that lose the weight, I was on.
By the way, scientifically tested and approved.
Yes, I was on these fat burner pills, and these things. I was actually at the day program, and I'm like, I got to take care of this thing. I got to figure out how to do this problem. All right, it didn't exist.
What do you mean?
Were
you hallucinating?
I think I was like about to go into like a stroke or something like that, because basically I was starting to hallucinate.
One more week.
Where I was like, I'm like getting anxiety over things that didn't exist.
Really?
And yeah, it got, and I never
should have talked to me. I'll give you anxiety over things that do.
Yeah. But it's like I was kind of getting nervous.
And you thought it was scientifically tested, and you thought it was safe.
Yeah.
And it was harmful.
It's marketed. It's in one of those the nationwide chain of vitamin stores. You would think something like that would be reputable and would be safe to take.
That's why you got to go to a physician.
Yeah.
A physician knows what type of shape you're in and what's good for your body and a healthy way to do it. But we don't want that. We want the quick fix.
Yeah.
And we also look for testimonials.
Right.
You know, Pip from Jersey says she lost 30 pounds in a week and a half. Well, Pip, if it works for Pip, it's going to work for me. They don't include all the testimonials. They go, well, this is a bunch of horse crap.
Yeah, I lopped off my head. No.
What diet's that? I approve of that diet.
The headless diet.
The headless diet.
And he's telling me I'm mean.
I know.
You're not denying it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that, you know, you can say, I watched the Kardashians on television one day, and Kourtney.
One day.
I watched several of the episodes, I'll be honest.
Several, yeah.
But
seasons.
Yes.
But I saw the older Kardashian girl put a stick of butter in her coffee and drink it. And the other girl, I forgot who was there, was like, that's disgusting. And she said, no, this is the new diet thing. And I looked it up, and it was a new diet thing. You put butter in your coffee? It's a lie.
Yeah, but those Kardashians will put anything in their mouth. Anyway.
All stick of it.
Exactly. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Davin's Den. Back, listen to Davin's, and of course you knew that already. I don't have to tell you. So more and more, we're kind of being watched by the government.
Yes,
kind of watching. But you know what? Maybe you don't want to be watched by the government. Maybe you want to keep your actions on the down low.
Absolutely.
Because you have things to hide.
I like privacy.
We like you being private.
Yeah. We don't discreet.
Yes,
discreet.
That's one thing Pip Helix is not.
Discreet. I'm not discreet. No,
you're not discreet. You are sharing and giving. Whether we want you to give or share, you do.
Yes, it's not a welcome in all cases.
So we got a whole bunch of tips. We're not going to get to them all tonight. We'll have to do more another time. But these come from ghostmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostmail.com. They say you want to create an anonymous email account with a service that requires neither your real name or your phone number to verify your identity. Like Ghostmail.
Yeah,
you know, what would happen.
I know.
But I never even heard of Ghostmail.
Yeah. No, neither had I.
But if you don't give them a real name or real phone number, there's no way for people to track you.
Yeah, it really annoys me when Facebook keeps asking for my phone number. I'm like, no, I'm not going to date you.
Yeah, I know. No,
well,
no.
They want it for security purposes in case you.
Sure they do.
Yeah. It says don't use identifiable aliases when creating the account. So, like for Joe, he wouldn't use Joe, his nickname, and then, you know, a bunch of numbers.
Yeah, no.
It wouldn't be joefoot@optonline.yamama. So you don't want it to be identifiable. You don't want it to be something that can be tied back to you. So Joe's a Met fan, so he wouldn't put Met fanatic. You know,
right?
You put something opposite. Joe would put Brave lover.
Right. If I'm trying to figure
that
out,
that didn't sound right, but I can see Joe. <putting it. laughs>
It's better than Big Chicken.
I know what she's getting at.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
okay. You want it? You're better. You're creating non-existing word to be your email login, so like a bunch of consonants.
Yeah.
Throw some numbers in there. You know, do not use anonymous email to communicate with people who can compromise your anonymity. So, say Joe sets up an anonymous email, but he wants to talk to me. Don't email me with that, because then if somebody can backtrack to me and get to Joe that way.
Yeah, you've set up that connection, and it's like it's much easier to figure out who you are.
Right. So they say the ideal scenario is you secure email from private emails. You have one standalone account for that purpose. So one account that can't be linked to anything.
Right. That makes sense.
And you have a different one for social networks, like like LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Friendster, the big ones.
Yeah.
No redirecting emails from one account to another. You know, like with Google, you can set that up.
Right.
Where you have them like contact through the website and it goes to Google. No redirecting emails. So you just want this to be completely standalone.
Right. If you're going to use it for whatever reason, you need the privacy. Don't be compromising it by connecting it in any way to something that's going to tell who you are.
They say avoid Facebook. Because Facebook wants your number to register an account.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're going to get a burner phone, which we've talked about on this show.
Right.
You're not going to do it. You're going to give yourself away.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, try to talk about the Twitter lets you register an account and stay unverified. So, you know, if you want to troll somebody, you can go on Twitter. you don't want to location reliant services like Foursquare unless you can dedicate a standalone smartphone for browsing insecure social apps only. So it's really a lot of stuff you have to do.
Right, but Foursquare, as I understand, it gives away your location. So unless you're trying to give all your stalkers the 411, don't even try it.
You can't stay private on Tinder, and this lets your location can be hacked. Through Tinder.
Mm.
When registering a new account, the one you wish to make anonymous, make it as inconspicuous and trivial as possible. The account is standalone, so it's not personal. So you just want it to blend.
Yeah, you don't want to have like, you know, I hate Trump as your email, because then people are going to notice it. For one reason or another, it's really going to draw attention.
Right.
You're trying to be on the down low.
Which again goes to, you know, you just want to use, maybe make up words.
Yeah.
Make up words. You want to use an anonymous email to register for a new account with a social network.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to disable location tracking, which we talked about, for every account that you register. So that's the first tip.
Yeah.
We'll do more of these as the weeks go on. But that was from ghostmail.com. Listen to Davin's Den. Don't go anywhere. All right, you guys, listen to Davin's Den, fill in the void. Been a fun show, but this must end. It must
it
end.
It must end.
It must end.
It's been an odyssey, yes.
So this is a Joe and Pip special.
Oh yay!
They campaigned for this joke, for this story. So we shall do it.
Yes.
ISIS and porn.
Two great tastes that taste great together. Oh, no. That's something else.
Before we even get started, she derails it.
Mm. Yeah, I like that.
Mm, of course you do. Retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, a Trump guy. Former head of Defense Intelligence Agency, writes that extremists in Al-Qaeda, and specifically the Al-Qaeda branch in Iraq that became ISIS, oh, they changed, were sick, psychopathic foes, you think?
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
They seem like a bunch of sweeties.
Yeah.
Well, he goes, we were facing a despicable foe, one which would rape and pillage women and children, boys and girls, behead for fun, because why make it a chore? Oh! Yeah.
Some things to do in your free time.
Want to play cards? Now let's cut off a head. Yeah. All right.
You know, when I retire, I'm going to take up a hobby. What shall I do?
All watching pornography on their laptops, Flynn writes. After describing U.S. efforts in Iraq in the mid-2000s, in fact, at one point, we determined that 80% of the material on the laptops we were catching was pornography.
80%?
That can't be verified, but that's his claim.
I know, but that's still incredible.
It's, you know.
And what do you think we're going to find on your computer?
Well,
not 80%.
85.
There's some music on there. Certainly, he must write some routines.
90% or just
90%. No percent.
Oh, really?
My computer is as clean as the driven snow.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Davids just dropped the paper and looked at me like,
you are gullible.
Really?
You are gullible.
I must be. I know.
Got a bridge for sale. Anybody interested?
I know. Come on.
So, yeah. So, breaking news. Despicable people like porn.
Yeah,
but so do non-despicable people.
Yeah, I mean, a
slow
lot
down.
Of,
he's like, yeah!
Yeah, that came out a little bit more enthusiastic.
Very enthusiastic.
Well, I've developed more of an appreciation for porn now that I have to watch it for this show. I've seen more porn.
Will you
since
becoming a connoisseur now?
I've seen more porn since we started the show than I ever had my whole entire life beforehand.
So do you think the porn makes them look at women as more of an object than they already did in their culture?
I would say so. Absolutely.
See, I don't know if I agree with that, because in that culture, they already, women are just vessels to be used up.
You know what? It's really hard to say. I think that that's like an ongoing
is it
conversation.
A question of which came first?
The porn or the vessel? No, wait, what?
I'm guessing the guy watching it.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. And that's what I said to the guy watching it. The thing is that it's really difficult to say. Is it that the porn makes somebody objectify women, or did they already objectify women and then they want to watch
porn? I think it enhances. I think it goes, well, this is cool because it's on a movie. Because other people are doing it.
Well, it's really strange because we have a whole bunch of people who are so supposedly against Western culture, and yet porn is one of the outcroppings of Western culture.
I'll tell you why. Boobs are loved by all.
Yes.
So, so you think it kind of reinforces the belief that women are not to be cherished, Joe?
I would say so, yes.
So we're learning more about, I don't know if we're learning more about the behavior of terrorists. Maybe that's phrased wrong. But we're certainly learning more about some of the deviant activities.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Doesn't it make it clear that the extremist of Islam is kind of like the extremist we have here, say, like the West Baptist Church? Although I don't know much about the West Baptist Church and steroids. I mean, in porn, but I just know, you know, that they're pretty extreme. I don't know what the porn
is. But I wonder
are.
If you found if you would find porn on their laptops.
Well, if they invite us over, we'll check.
Yeah.
Geek Squad.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's analogous if in terms of porn, but certainly in terms of the fact that the West Baptist Church has taken Christian ideals and perverted them in the same way that this ISIS or ISIL, whatever you want to call them, seems to have perverted the message of Islam to the point that this is something that's supposed to be a completely unallowed activity, watching porn. And certainly, you know, raping and pillaging is not supposed to be on the menu, but or beheading, and they seem to take that.
It's against their ideology.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe it's not the ideology, Joe.
Well,
maybe it's a new ideology. Maybe it's in heaven we want virgins, but on earth we want hoes. I feel that way, you know.
Well, if you keep acting like this, there aren't going to be any virgins left on earth.
If they had it based on that, you know, you see some guy come in all burnt up, ladies, I'm here. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, know? Yeah, we're so over you already.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that it's necessarily that, you know, the, that porn is what defines these people. It just shows that.
No, I think there's worse things.
Yes.
Why are we bothering them? Do you see what's on their laptop?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
That poor woman, 56? Ay vey. We have to stop them immediately.
Who thought she could get that position with her arthritis?
I don't think that's why we're calling in drone strikes.
Oh, no, no, no. That's not true. No. that's not the thing. But what I'm saying is that,
so,
you know,
be very quiet. I'm listening.
Yeah. Drone strike? Did you say drone strike? What is that hovering outside the window? The thing is that, you know, if you have somebody that purports to be a group that is proposing all of these, their religious ideas, if they're not even following their own religion, how can you believe them at all?
And they're so vigilant on that religion. I was wondering if they police themselves. If 80% is found on the computer, I wonder how come they don't turn each other in.
Well, because it's either you enjoy porn or you look at the hut you're in, waiting not to get bombed. I think, you know, it's a good way to pass the time. I get why they do it.
Well, if you're saying
it takes the edge off.
But if you're saying that you're so religious.
Because religious people are never hypocrites.
Oh, no, 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 they're not. Never.
It's not just Islam.
It's show it.
You it's know not what? Just Islam.
I think this shows. I think this shows that Christian, Jews, Muslims, we're not so different. I think porn bridges the cultures.
And hypocrisy.
No, porn.
Porn. Porn brings us together.
I think porn is the Benetton colors of society.
Well, certainly from the porn that we've seen on the internet, it is the multicolor of Benetton.
So, yeah, they're a bunch of horny creeps. I guess that's the message.
Yeah really.
And Allah's watching.
Yes, yes. Wag right. your finger at them.
All right, Joe, where are you going to be?
I am going to be nowhere.
Me too. All right.
Oh, so much for that.
Listen to the full show, davinsden.com. Follow us on Facebook. Like our page, Davin's Den. Follow us on Twitter, at Davin's Den. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.